Welcome to New Season Ministry with Evangelist Jeremy Cook. We hope today's message will challenge, encourage, and uplift you in your walk with the Lord. Enjoy the message.
Tonight, take your Bibles and go with me tonight to the book of Acts chapter 14. The book of Acts chapter 14. Told Pastor just a few moments ago, I said, I believe that God has laid something on my heart that I want to share. I believe that it's a word for us. That has been my prayer. I really feel like that the Lord has given this to me. We won't be here this weekend for services. Saturday we'll be leaving out for Oklahoma for a couple of revivals. So be praying for us as we kick off the new year. This is going to be a busy year for us, evangelistic wise. So just continue to pray for us. At some point we'll be all the way out west. We'll be in Washington and everything. And so we're excited about everything that God is doing. And as I was praying the other day, the Lord just drew me to this passage of scripture and just begin to speak to me some things. And I believe that it's not only just a message for us as a church, but I also believe that it is a message for the church in general. I mean, everybody understand that, right? So not just for the local body, but I also believe that it's for the body at large. So if the Lord's going to help me, I plan on preaching this at a few places that I go, but I'm going to try it out on you tonight. Amen. Is that okay? Because I believe that it is a word, and I believe that it's a word for us as we get ready to go into this new year, into 2023, and the things that I believe that God is getting ready to do. So if you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 14, going to begin reading at verse 19, going to read a few verses of scripture, and I'm going to use those to get us to where we need to be tonight. Amen? So Acts chapter 14, begin reading at verse 19. The Bible says, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and he taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. When they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commanded them to the Lord on whom they believed." Now, here's the title of my message. You may be seated, because I believe that the Lord spoke this to me, and he spoke to me the phrase, "a time to build." A time to build. And so I believe, church, tonight, that regardless of the reports that we're hearing, regardless of what people are wanting to say, regardless of what people's opinions are, and regardless of what maybe the reports may actually say, I believe that this is one of the most exciting times to be a part of the church. Amen. Amen. As a matter of fact, I believe, regardless of what anybody is wanting to say, I believe, let's just bring it down and let's just make it local for us. I believe that it is one of the most exciting times to be a part of harvest time. Amen. Amen. To think about what God is getting ready to do. To think about the things that God has spoken to us over the last little while. I believe that regardless of what anybody wants to say, regardless of any negative report that is going on out there, I believe that it is an exciting time to be a part of the church. Why do you say that, Brother Jeremy? I say that is because now more than ever, people are looking for something. People are looking for something authentic. People are looking for something that is real. I believe that people are looking for a church that is filled with godly love. Oh, come on. Somebody help me preach it out. I believe, because what did Paul the Apostle say? Paul the Apostle said, "Now abide faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." Can I just preach for a minute? I know that we're Pentecostal, but I just want to remind us tonight that we can speak in tongues and not have love. We can cast out devils and not have love. We can even heal the sick and not have love. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that we can do it. But he says if you can cast out devils, he said if you can speak in tongues, he said if you can heal the sick, but if you don't have godly love working in you, he said you're like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He said, but I believe now more than ever, this world is looking for a church that exudes godly love. I believe that this community is looking for a church that walks in the power and the anointing of God. They've had their form, they've had their ritual. I feel like preaching right now. They've had their form, they've had their ritual, they've had their religious experience, but they're looking for a church that has the power of God operating in it. They're looking for a church that has the anointing of God looking in it. They're looking for a place that when they're messed up from the floor up, when they're jacked up and their life is a mess, they know where they can go to. They know they can find a group of people that have the anointing and have the power of God upon their life. I believe that they're also looking for a church that is pulling people out of the grip of hell. There's a lost and a dying world out there, but I believe that God once again is calling the church for us to be brands that are plucking people out of the fire, that are looking at this lost and dying world and they're saying, "I love you too much to let you go to hell. And if you're going to go to hell, you'll go to hell over my body. You'll go to hell over my preaching. You'll go to hell." Oh, come on, you ain't helping me preach right now. I believe that they're looking for a church that believes in the power of God, that believes in the love of God, and believes that there's still a heaven to gain and that there's still a hell to shun. I just believe that we're living in the greatest generation ever known to mankind. We're living in the generation that's getting ready to see Jesus Christ return. Oh, I'm preaching right now. We're getting ready to see God split the eastern sky wide open. It's an exciting time to be a part of the church. Amen. I also want to tell you this. It's time, harvest time, it's time that we look ahead with confidence. Let me just say that again. I believe that it is time that we look ahead with confidence. It's time that we expect the best. And it's time that we prepare for the best. Oh, come on. Come on, listen. I've got friends that have come in from Florida to visit, and I'm thankful that they're here. And I'm telling you, when I knew that they were on their way, we started preparing. We started preparing for their arrival. Okay, don't get quiet on me right now. We started cleaning the house. We started getting the apartment down there ready and everything. And yet we had a setback. Monday we had busted pipes that flooded the apartment and everything like that. But I tell you, we were preparing for the arrival. We were preparing for the guest arrival. My God, I'm getting ready to preach right now. And I believe that we need to look forward and we need to look ahead with confidence for what God is getting ready to do. We need to prepare ourselves for what God is getting ready to do in this church. We need to prepare ourselves for what God is getting ready to do in this community. It is not time for us to sit idly by and twiddle our thumbs and just wait. But I tell you, we ought to get ready to prepare, because it's time. The sick are getting ready to come in. The demon possessed are getting ready to come in. Somebody help me preach in this house. I want to tell you, the oppressed are getting ready to come into this house. The depressed are getting ready to come into this house. And we ought to get prepared for what God's getting ready to do. We need to get prepared that God is getting ready to send them from the north, the south. And I feel like I'm prophesying right now. God's getting ready to send them from the north, south, and the east and the west. We need to look for it. It's a time where we need to expect a great future. Oh, say, oh, listen, now is the time that we stop living in the past. We stop looking through the rearview mirror of what used to be, and we start looking ahead to what is getting ready to happen.
told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. He said, I know the plans that I'm getting ready to do. He said, I plan to give you a future. I plan to give you a hope. I know it looks bleak right now. I know everybody's writing you off right now. I know that it's not exactly how we want it right now. He says, but I know the plan that I have for you. I put it in order before the foundation of the world. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah, let me remind you that before you were ever formed in your mother's belly, I knew you and I ordained you and I called you. Harvest time, can I tell you and everybody that's watching my Facebook, God knew you and God had a plan for you and God had a destiny for you and God had a purpose for you. And it's time to stop looking back. It's time to stop looking back at all the pain and all the hurt and all the misery and what this one's done to you and what that one's done to you and what everybody else has said, and know that God's got a plan. God's got a plan to give you a hope and to give you a future. Let me remind you of the words of Paul the Apostle when he said, I haven't arrived where I need to be, but this one thing I'm doing, I'm forgetting those things which are behind me. Oh, I've come through some good times and I've come through some bad times, but I'm not yet where I need to be. But this one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to forget those things that are in the past and I'm going to walk forward into the future that God has for me. For me to step into my destiny. Now is the time for me to step into my purpose. Now is the time for me to step into my anointing. Now is the time for me to step. My God, I'm preaching in this house. Now is the time for me to step into my calling. Because now is the time that God has called the church of the living God and that God has called harvest time to arise in these last days, because it is time to build on what God has intended for us to build in this house. He said,
goodness, this is Wednesday night. I shouldn't preach like this. He said, I have not apprehended, but I'm forgetting those things which are behind me and I'm reaching forward. Let me just say this again. You got to forget everything in the past. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You got to forget it. Because if not, you'll become a prisoner of your past. And us, I just say this to me about 30 seconds to get this in. As Pentecostals, we're good about living in the past. You've got to break that spirit off of you. You've got to break that bondage off of you. I'm not here to talk about the good old days. I'm not here to talk about the woe is me bad days. I'm not here to talk about how somebody betrayed me. I'm not here to talk about my faults and my failures. And Lord knows I've got plenty of them. I can write a book on every time that I have failed God. I can write a book on every time that I've missed the mark. And every time I've had to crawl back to the altar and say, God, you've got to help me. You've got to forgive me because I've messed up again. But I hear the word. He said, you've got to forget all those things that are in your past, and you've got to be willing to go forward, because there's something ahead. There's a move of God that is ahead. And if you're always looking back at your faults and your failures, you're always looking back at what I used to do. You'll miss what I'm getting ready. My God, I'm getting ready. You'll miss what I'm getting ready to do. I just want to tell somebody, you need to press on. Press on despite what they said. Press on despite what they're thinking. Press on despite how you feel in your body, because we walk by faith and we walk not by sight. We walk as the just shall live by their faith. Press on in the name of Jesus. Is this okay, Pastor? All right. So the Lord spoke to me and said, it's time to build. Time to build. The Lord drew me to these passages of Scripture, and I said, Lord, how in the world am I going to preach a message like this out of this? He says, there's three things I need you. He says, the Lord spoke to me. He said, three things I need you to see. Number one, how are we going to build in this move of God? Number one, you're going to build on, we're going to harvest time in the ministries that are watching, people that are listening, we're going to build on evangelism. Listen to this. Verse 19, the Bible says that they stoned Paul and they left him for dead. Bible says that they stoned him, drug him out of the city, and left him for dead. But he rises up.
Hallelujah.
Mm. My brothers and sisters, can I tell you, there's many people right now that think that the church is dead.
Right.
We've been through it. They've cast their stones. And spiritually speaking, for many of us, they've drug us out of the city and have left us for dead. I shouldn't feel this good tonight, but I feel good. They leave us. They left us for dead. We've been through hard times. We've been through everything, and the Bible says that they drug Paul the apostle out and left him, supposing that he was made dead. But can I tell you, I'm just going to preach it how I believe it right now. And if you don't, I believe that it's at this moment that we get, that he gives the revelation of the third heaven. When he would write in Corinthians, and he said there was a time, he says that I knew a man, whether or not I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. He says, but all I know is this. He says, I was called up into the third heaven. He says, and I was shown things that was not lawful for me to even utter. He said, I saw things up in the heavenlies that I couldn't even begin to describe. He said, the Lord even told me that I could not even make mention of it. Don't you say anything. But God gave me a revelation of it. And when I read that and I begin to think about that, I believe that the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me to tell somebody in this house or somebody that is watching my Facebook and to say, God is getting ready to give you a revelation in the midst of your tribulation and what you're going through. It's in the middle where everybody else has stoned you and left you for dead. It's in that moment that God's going to give you a revelation of His power and of His glory. And in that moment, the church of the living God, Paul the Apostle, rose up. And so I believe that right now we're getting ready to arise. I believe the harvest time is getting ready to arise. They've said things, they've talked, and it's just okay, Pastor. They've said things, they've talked about us, they've ridiculed us, they've told us, they said this, and they said that, and it seems like in time they said, oh, don't worry about that church, don't worry about that family, because they're dead, all that messed up, they did all that. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, I'm getting ready to arise the church, and the church is getting ready to give up, because Paul had a purpose, because Paul didn't sit there and get in the mully crumbs about what everybody else did. When he got back on his feet, he said, listen, I'm going back into the city because God, I've got a purpose. And I want to tell you, we've got a purpose. It is vital, listen to me, church. It is vital that we understand our purpose. If you don't understand your purpose, there's a prostitute that is out there. There's a homosexual that is out there. There's a demon-possessed man or woman that is out there. And it's time for the church of the living God to rise up and pursue the lost at all costs. Oh. Is this okay? Number two. We're going to build on evangelism. Number two. We're going to build on encouragement. Bible says they preached the gospel. Then in verse 22, the Bible says that they exhorted them. What does exhort mean? To exhort simply means to encourage. We've got a lot of people that like to discourage.
Come on. Good preaching.
But we need some people that are willing to encourage. Amen. Can I just share the story? Can I just share the story with you real quick? And I'll move on. We were talking today, and we were talking about Harmony. I'm telling you, Harmony's got faith that you wouldn't believe. We got here, we moved here. 1 year goes by, maybe 2 years goes by. She came to us and she said, She says, I want a white Christmas. I want it to snow. I want it to snow on Christmas.
I want to wake up and there will be snow on the ground on Christmas. But listen, I'm not here to. So she anybody who would listen, that's what she would tell them. She'd tell them, I want a white Christmas. I'm not here to make anybody feel good, bad, or anything like that. I'm not here to judge, but there were people here and other places that said, it ain't gonna snow. It hasn't snowed on Christmas, and I don't know how many years. And I'm not saying they were trying to discourage her or anything like that, but they were just speaking what the reality of the situation was. It hadn't. Now, here was the thing. She didn't let that discourage her. She'd go up into her little room up there at the house, and there would be times I'd walk up there, and she'd be nailed down beside her bed praying, God, I want it to snow on Christmas. I want it to snow on Christmas. God, I want it to snow on Christmas. I just don't want just a little crop dusting. I just don't want just a couple of snowflakes. I want snow to be on the ground. And she'd still tell people that. She'd tell me, I'm praying for snow on Christmas. And people would tell her, oh, it ain't gonna snow. It hardly ever snows. It hardly ever snows on Christmas. We got up that morning on Christmas morning, and I want to tell you, there was snow on the ground.
Amen.
There was snow on the ground. Now listen, I'm not trying to spiritualize all this stuff, but I just happen to believe that if she'd have let all the naysayers discourage her, and if she'd have stopped praying, there probably wouldn't have been any snow on the ground.
That's right.
Is that okay, Pastor?
Amen.
Yeah. So she saw what her prayers would get her.
Yes.
And then she came to me after Christmas and she said, I know what I want for my birthday. And I said, what do you want for your birthday? She said, I want it to snow on my birthday. Here's what you got to understand. Her birthday is April the 24th. And she began to tell people again, it's going to snow. I want it to snow on my birthday. I'm praying to God that God will let it snow on my birthday. And here came the voices again. Oh, that's the springtime right there. It ain't going to snow on your birthday. Oh, but she'd go back up into that room again. And she knelt down beside her bed. And I'm talking about she wasn't saying no little meaty mouth prayer. I'm talking about she was going into some intercession. And she'd start to pray. And she'd say, Lord, I let it snow on my birthday. The day before, it was 80-something degrees. On her birthday, when we woke up that morning, there was about 2 inches of snow on the ground. And you say, preacher, what is that all about? Because see, here's the thing. Sometimes we listen to the voices that say, hey, it's never going to happen. But I want to tell you, you can't let the voices discourage you. What we need is instead of some voices speaking to us and telling us, it ain't never going to happen. Your children ain't never going to get saved. The church is never going to grow. Your finances are never going to get back in order. You need somebody that will speak some encouragement into your life. I know it can get rough, but you need to be encouraged. I know that at times we feel like giving up, but you need somebody to come by where you're at and encourage you. I know that at times our family can be a mess, but I want you to be encouraged tonight. I know that sometimes a ministry is tough, and I want to tell you, if you're like me, there's been many times that I felt like throwing in the towel and saying, you know what, I'll just go flip burgers at McDonald's or something. But I'm glad that somebody came and gave me an encouragement. I know that the church has been tried, but I want to encourage you this evening. Galatians 6 and 9 says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you're going to reap if you faint not. I want to tell somebody in this house and those that are watching online, I want to tell you, be not weary in well-doing, because you're getting ready to reap. You're getting ready to reap a harvest. You're getting ready to reap your health. You're getting ready to reap your finances.
Three, I'm almost done. We're going to build through edification. What does edification mean? Edification means to build up. Some specialize in construction. Some specialize in deconstruction. Don't let your specialty be to tear down what others are trying to build up.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Yes.
There is a great theologian. Saw him in a movie one time. His name was Thumper. Great theologian. And he had this little bit of advice. If you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all. Pastor, can I get a little bit pastoral?
Sure.
Hardest time? Can't say nothing nice. Don't say nothing at all. Because we need edifiers. We need people that will build up. Too many times we get around people that all that they want to do is tear down. Don't be a part of the wrecking crew.
Amen.
Don't be a part of the wrecking crew. Don't be, God has had to forgive me because it's no way, but don't be like Miley Cyrus and come in here on a wrecking ball.
Come on.
Don't do that. I've seen it, Pastor.
Yeah.
I've been in churches and I've been in services where the power of God is moving.
Yeah.
I mean, people are getting saved. Revival is happening. And somebody start doing this.
Oh, yeah.
And tear down everything that has been built up. Harvest time, don't be part of the wrecking crew. Be a part of those that build up.
Yes, amen.
God called us to be builders and not destroyers. Now here's the thing. We ain't always going to get it right. We're going to mess up. That's just plain simple truth. There's going to be decisions that we're going to make. There's going to be decisions that you're going to make. If you had to do it over again, you probably wouldn't do that. But you don't need somebody coming around beating you down. We need somebody to come and lift you up.
Yes.
Oh, I'm preaching better than you're shouting right now. Need people that build up the church. And Paul seek to build up the church. Can I tell you what Jude 1 and 20 says? Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you a great way to build? Make sure your life is yielded to the Spirit. Make sure your life is yielded to the Spirit of God. Some of us need to learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because the other tongue gets us in trouble sometimes. Some of us need to learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost because the other tongue that we talk in gets us in trouble sometimes. Come on, I'm preaching to myself. But you want to build yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. So here's my question to you, and I'm done. Are you ready? Think about it. That's a rhetorical question. Are you ready? Because I believe I believe that harvest time, I've been wording correctly because I'm getting, my tongue is getting twisted here. Harvest time's time is now. I believe that.
That's
right. I believe that harvest time's time is now. And we are not to miss what God is getting ready to do. So I believe that what God has spoke to me, and I won't get into all of it, but God, just in my own prayer time, God has spoken specific things to me to help better with. I'm just being honest with you. I believe that for everyone that is watching here, or that is here, and everybody that is watching my Facebook, that it's time. It's time to rise. It's time to build. It's time to evangelize. It's time to encourage. It's time to build up.
Yeah.
I believe that God is getting ready to do something that exceeds everything that we ever asked or could have thought of. I believe that with, and I didn't know I said this all the time, so I'm just going to say it. I told Pastor this the other day. I guess I really say that, but with every fiber of my being, I'm going to make up some t-shirts. I'm going to sell them as I'm traveling. But with every fiber of my being, I believe in what God is getting ready to do. I believe that God is getting ready to do an extraordinary work among His people. And I believe that it is time. How many believe that it is time in this house? Amen. Stand with me all over this house.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Evangelist Jeremy Cook. If you would like more information regarding New Season Ministry, to schedule Jeremy to minister at your event, or to support the ministry with a love gift, please contact us at 859-404-4007, or you may email him at pastorjeremycook@gmail.com. God bless, and we will see you next time on New Season Ministry.